Catholics, who account for about a quarter of all Americans, represent a powerful voting bloc in the upcoming presidential elections in the United States. Not all Catholics will vote for the same candidate, but all are asked to let their conscience do the choosing at the ballot box. Working in collaboration with the Faithful Citizenship campaign launched by the U.S. Catholic bishops, moral theologian Father Brian Bransfield says that conscience insists that human dilemmas are moral concerns long before they are political points of view. He explains to Emer McCarthy how we can sometimes get confused between conscience, in which God speaks to us in truth, and mere opinion, which has no place in the ballot booth.
For example, in the case with abortion, someone may judge that, well, since I am currently working, since I am not married, since I have a career I want to pursue, since having a child right now would be too costly, person who is pregnant may decide and say, I think I will have recourse to abortion. That is mere opinion, because the opinion is, I simply want to lead a consumeristic or acquisitional lifestyle. That doesn't get to the truth of things as they are. The fact that we know from basic embryology, from basic logic, that the child in the womb is a person with potential. The child in the womb is not a potential person. It's a person with potential. And instead, what overlies that truth is convenience, intention, circumstance. That is when opinion begins to dominate. And no one can claim, therefore, that that is my conscience, that that is simply my well-formed conscience saying that, well, because of where I am right now, my economic standing, or my view for my career, I'll let that override life. That would be reducing conscience to mere opinion.
Now, what about the growing theory in modern society, particularly in modern Western society where secularism is an increasing reality, that one person has no right to impose their opinion, to impose their values, and to a certain extent, or to a larger extent, impose their conscience on others?
Yes, this is where confusion can result. Society values the right to privacy, but the right to privacy is on which what you had mentioned there is based, is not an absolute right. The right to privacy is in service to the common good. And so we really look at the question of the common good. The common good, truth, does introduce itself in such a way that it compels us. It imposes itself upon us at times. So whereas I might not be able to impose that on someone else, the common good and the nature of truth itself does form me in such a way that it compels me. And society, a well-ordered society, is able to direct everyone to the common good because of the effects of sin, because of malice, ignorance, concupiscence, weakness. Society needs prophets. Society needs persons within society who remind society of the common good. The right to privacy, since it is not an absolute right, cannot deter the common good.
What role does conscience play in citizenship, and what happens to citizenship when conscience is not brought to bear? If you can give us some practical examples about this.
Sure. What conscience reminds us that we are persons and that nothing can substitute for our personhood. For example, in a secularist society, very often the values at hand are acquisition. The more I get, the happier I will be, the more money, the more power, the more prestige. Well, conscience interrupts that and says, well, no, there's something more about life, about the common good, than having the most things, than being just the rugged individual. There's something about being in a community, being a gift to others, that I have to continually return to, and that lies at the very root of my being. Conscience, the citizen, must remember that he or she is there to help in a community of persons, in a communion of persons, to make a gift of themselves. Society is not there to simply build up rights to enshrine the individual alone without his or her relation to other individuals. So being a citizen reminds me that my rights and my duties in society are to be a gift to others and to allow for the good of others to prosper. So the citizen has to always remember that they are first a person. The citizen always has to remember that political issues are first moral concerns in many cases, and that good or evil is the first interest rather than happy or sad. Feeling happy or sad, but being good or evil is the first concern.
To an extent, conscience plays an essential role in civic responsibility. Do you think that we have become lazy regarding civic responsibilities, our civic responsibilities? Do you think that Catholics in Western society have lazy consciences?
I think that Catholics in Western society do not have lazy consciences so much as they have consciences that have been wounded. We've been wounded by the word you've mentioned several times, secularism. Secularism in America has been going on well over 100 years, where from the Industrial Revolution, we've inherited this notion that to be a person means to be productive. Then from the Sexual Revolution, we inherited the notion to be a person means not only I should be productive, but I have to be pleasurable, pleasured. And then thirdly, from the Technological Revolution, we've inherited to be a person, I not only have to be productive and pleasured, but I also have to do that quickly and efficiently with speed. That's what's wounded the conscience of Catholics in the West. We had a study done recently in April of 2008 by the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate from Georgetown University, and the study found that over 75% of U.S. Catholics are proud to be Catholic, but only 23% practice on a weekly basis. That means in between the 23% who regularly practice up to that 77% who are proud to be Catholic, there are 54%. 54% that are the ripe field of the new evangelization. They're not so much lazy consciences as they are consciences that have been wounded, and now, as the first effect of that wound, experience a gap between their identity as Catholics, they're proud to be Catholic, but they do not practice. A gap between their identity and their commitment. And the new evangelization is the call to narrow that gap as quickly and as efficiently as we can. And so I think Catholics have, to a large degree, been wounded by secularism. We see it on television. We see it in our news reports. We see it in many of our educational systems, the competition to acquire, to be pleasured, to be happy, and to simply do this very quickly. And we have to change that from, rather than acquiring, you need to be a gift to others. Rather than seek pleasure, you must seek beauty. And rather than technology, speed, and efficiency, we need contemplation. And so those are the tasks of the new evangelization.
You speak about the fact that conscience has three main directions, and that the most important thing is that conscience is not deciding between happy and sad, but deciding between good and evil. Now, in faithful citizenship, the categories that the leaders of the church in the United States are asking Catholics to think about as they go to the voting booths, there are many of them, but to quote just the most important ones, we speak about immigration, we speak about poverty, we speak about the healthcare system, we speak about Iraq and war, we speak about abortion, we speak about stem cell research, we speak about gay marriage. For Catholics, in many of these areas, it's not that difficult to define what is good from what is evil. But the problem is that many of these Catholics are faced with choices between a candidate, one perhaps who is anti-abortion but reluctant on the Iraq war or immigration reform. On the other hand, a candidate who is for migration reform and a more peaceable foreign policy but pro-abortion and pro-embryonic stem cell research. Is it a case of choosing between the lesser of two evils? And if so, how can Catholics resolve this moral dilemma?
Well, the bishops provide very exactly with general principles. We may not knowingly, willingly, or directly support public policies or legislation that undermine fundamental moral principles in such a way that we cooperate with evil. At the same time, it may be possible to restore justice on those issues you mentioned only partially or gradually at a time. The bishops lay down the principle, a Catholic cannot vote for a candidate who takes a position in favor of an intrinsic evil, such as abortion or racism, if the voter's intent is to support that position. In such cases, a Catholic would be guilty of formal cooperation in a grave evil.
Religion seems to play a massive role with regards to the U.S. presidential election, particularly among the electorate. And I'm not just speaking here about the Catholics or just about the Christian religions, but it generally is quite a strong influence on the electorate and on the choices and the decisions that they make. And it makes America quite unique because, for example, in many other Western European nations, religion is very much pushed to the sideline and kept out, almost excluded and specifically excluded from any political debate. Can you explain why this is so in the United States?
In America, of course, we have a large percentage of people, over 97%, that believe in God. So I think what we would say is that while we have the separation of church and state in America, that separation of church and state means that the state does not favor one religion over another, but it invites every religion, and it does not limit the religion to have a legitimate input into society. The separation of church and state does not mean separation of church and culture. In fact, the church has had a seat at the table of culture for a millennia, really, and long before the United States came into being. So that we sit at the table of culture and that we form culture is very, very important. Many of our laws are rooted in the church's own canon law. So it would be very important to see that the separation of church and state is not the separation of church and culture, and religion is therefore meant to contribute in a robust way to the debate and is meant to be present at every issue.
Father Brian Bransfield is a specialist with the U.S. Catholic Bishops Secretariat of Evangelization and Catechesis. This interview is part of a series of conversations we here at Vatican Radio are airing ahead of the November elections in the U.S. Tune in to this program each Tuesday when we speak to experts in a variety of fields and issues of concern for U.S. Catholics. Don't miss them.